he's seven.
Hopefully it'll have stopped snowing and then the roads will be plowed and we'll be good to go.
We live in Minnesota, so this is what you have to expect.
On our network is located in Minnesota. Don't we know how tough those people are? They tell us constantly. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. And that's where we start, snow slamming the Midwest again. That, you know, if you worked at a newspaper, and I know it's a dying form of journalism, but you could just keep putting that headline up there, snow slamming the Midwest. The Midwest cluttered with snow once again, plowing the Midwest. It's been a rough year for the white stuff. But hey, the woman is right when she's talking about that. They don't suffer fools when it comes to snow in Minnesota. North Dakota, they feel the same way. Places where they get a lot of snow and they're used to having to dig out of it, they don't feel sorry for the rest of us when we whine about a few inches of the white stuff. But this is more than a few inches. 1,000 flights were canceled. It was part of a system that actually started to form over Montana, slammed the Dakotas and Minnesota on Monday, then ripped through Wisconsin and Illinois, making a beeline for Washington, D.C. It's hitting there, you know, right about now, very, very late or into the wee hours, and it's pushing toward all the mid-Atlantic regions. So that's why the amount of flights being canceled, the preparation for what's obviously going to be pretty nasty. And I would say that if you are commuting, better check to see what's open, what's going on, and so on and so forth. If you're like me, you know, grab coat, we'll go. I was always terrible at checking. And you know, even when I was doing the news, I was terrible at checking the weather because I just assumed, well, I have to be there anyway, so I don't really want to know about it. But the problem is when you have snow-covered interstates and you got to go on those interstates, sometimes because the roads get so slicked with the ice and the snow on top of it, some of the portions of it end up getting closed. Somebody jackknifes, there's a chain reaction, you know, whatever. So if you can save yourself from getting stuck, probably be wise to spend those few minutes in your local areas watching to see what the weather person has to say about the conditions on the ground. All right, speaking of the conditions on the ground, in Venezuela, everybody's wearing black. Why are they wearing black? Because Hugo the Butcher Chavez is dead at the age of 58 after a two-year battle with cancer. He had been the socialist dictator in that country for 14 years. He seemed like he would live forever, didn't he? And here's a guy who dominated everything. He was on the tube all the time. He was on radio all the time. And, I mean, he's a notorious dictator. That's how he gets the butcher nickname in between. But somehow he befriended in this weird wave of power. So many people embracing him, movie stars and others, which I don't get. I mean, I don't get it. He recently was at a clinic in Cuba, and he spent some time with the Castro brothers. He felt comfortable in Cuba and seemed to run over there even when he was healthy. You know, he was definitely tight with them, and he was looking for treatment and surgery, I suppose. So on state-run TV, they were trying to cover up just how bad he was doing with the chemotherapy and everything he was doing to battle the cancer. And you go back into the beginnings of Chavez, who was somebody who won over the people partially because he spent a couple of years in prison, then was pardoned, left prison, and then started up a movement into this party that he called the Movement of the Fifth Republic, and replaced his uniform, his military uniform, with kind of the business look or the tracksuit. How many times do we see Chavez in a tracksuit? So the working and the middle class people not happy with the way Chavez was doing him in, really. He might have been an icon and a legend when he's behind bars. He promised once he was in the position of power to rid the country of corruption, and he said he would divert money from the country's oil sales, because remember, they got lots of oil in Venezuela, and he said he would take that and he would help the poor and he would help education and health care. But that never happened. He definitely pocketed a lot of coin, $2 billion he amassed, he and his brother. So unemployment high, poverty awful in that country, even though they were, Venezuela is a very, very oil wealthy country. But that was not at all the way Chavez ran things. He made it sound like that, but that's not how he did the people. He did a big disservice to the people, especially the ones who truly followed him in the beginning and thought they were getting something something different. But the people didn't get something different. So I don't understand how he ended up getting such a huge following of Americans and other people who just thought, you know, this guy hung the moon. I mean, he's the man. This is this. They worship at the church of Hugo Chavez, but no more. So for 30 days, there will be an election on Friday. It's a funeral for Hugo Chavez. And ultimately, who ends up taking over the reins remains to be seen at this point. There are a couple of would-be sort of front runners for this, but I don't think you're going to see a great change in the ideology in Venezuela. I mean, am I on the wrong path here, folks, or do you think that Chavez would be on the top five list, the one that I compiled anyway, he was, of an evil-doing, smug guy who manipulated people? I mean, manipulated people, and including not just movie stars, by the way, in our country, but some people in Congress, very high praise for him, like Congressman Jose Serrano, who said on a Twitter statement that, you know, Hugo Chavez was a leader that understood the needs of the poor. He was committed to empowering the powerless. Really? Except for that he was taking all the oil money and he was putting it away for himself and for his family. See, this is what I don't understand. They give Chavez so much credit for discounting home heating oil to people in the United States who were struggling at one point because of what was happening back in 2005. But this was a maneuver by Chavez. And I don't think he's to be praised for that. I mean, give me a break. He butchered people. He killed people. It's ridiculous. All the freedoms and liberties of the Venezuelans were crushed by his hand. I mean, really. He was brutal. His best friends were Castro and Ahmadinejad. There's a threesome, huh? He nationalized private industries. I mean, he systematically picked off any of the freedoms and the rights that those people had in Venezuela. So give me a break on mourning Chavez and saying that he was just a tremendous guy and wanted to help the poor. He wanted to help himself.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
What do you think? You want to throw in your 2 cents? Don't be shy. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. As I said, 14-year reign, funeral on Friday, 30 days, and then an election in Venezuela. Black Dog 2000 threw in his 2 cents, not on Chavez, but on the song, the musical selection of Matt Johnson. He says, Madonna, question mark, question mark, question mark, OMG. But he also says, he did chime in here, he says, sinner, but we all are. Very true. What's that thing about casting the stones? But I'm going to cast a lot of stones because this guy should have been stoned for the things that he did to his people. He said one thing, but he didn't live by what he said. He did not try to make poor people's lives better. I don't believe that in Venezuela. Coming up on the show, I got to make sure that I tell you about this because I'm really excited about this guest. You know, March 19th will mark the 10-year anniversary of the day that we invaded Iraq. So we're talking to someone who was on the ground, Colonel Ted Spain, who was the commanding officer of the 18th Military Police Brigade. He was right in the middle of the turmoil. He was left with hardly any resources to try to figure out how to bring some order to the streets of Baghdad, for example. 6 million people in that country. Remember the looting and all the brutal things that were going on. He has some serious thoughts about a lame general, by the name of Sanchez and the current Joint Chief of Staff, and he talks about things that happen on the ground in Iraq. Great patriot, great to listen to his story, and that's coming up in our next segment. This is crazy. I mean, this is crazy stuff I'm about to tell you. I want you to think about this for a second. If I told you, okay, Janet Napolitano, whether she's lying or exaggerating or whatever, says we must get to the airport in our pajamas and we can change when we go to the restroom when we finally get through the long lines at the airport. But this time around when you're going to fly, you can carry a small pocket knife. Yes, less than 6 centimeters, you can carry it with you. So it will get cleared when you go through the checkpoints. You have to be kidding me. They will take my hairspray or any kind of liquid that isn't wrapped up. You can't bring wine through, but you can take a pocket knife through. Now, check this out. Not only a pocket knife, you can take up to 2 golf clubs, because I know most of us have a game where we use just 2 golf clubs, but okay. You can take 2 golf clubs, ski poles, which are a weapon in itself if you've ever skied, any kind of sporting sticks used for hockey, lacrosse, and billiards, but you can't take baseball bats. They're on the no-fly list. Wiffle ball bats and souvenir baseball bats would be allowed. What? And they say these are some of the popular things that they see, and they're not a risk to transportation. They're not a risk, except for when somebody who is watching current TV or Al Jazeera, whoops, and they see this story and they say, ah, we can bring in pocket knives and we can take in golf clubs. It just seems so ridiculous, doesn't it? So, of course, the flight attendants union reacts to this. They represent, like, the flight attendants union coalition. They represent about 90,000 flight attendants, say that it's poor and short-sighted, that by having these items forbidden, it's pretty integral in making things secure and safe. It's the last line of defense in the cabin. And you know what? I would have to agree. Before 9/11, I wouldn't have even thought anything about it. What did the terrorists have? Razor blades and box cutters. And they're still banned, by the way. So you can bring in your pocket, your pocket knife, and put it on, you know, throw it in the bin and have it go through. But forget the razor blades and the box cutters. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. And so what John Pistoli, who is the head of the TSA, said, he said, well, the problem is, you know, the reason why we can't have box cutters and stuff anymore is because there's too much emotion with those, since that was what was used. Wow. So we got these cuts at the screener side, and there's not going to be any overtime, and But now when you go through, you can carry a pocket knife. I mean, I guess in one way, if you have a Swiss Army knife, I guess that's good, right? Harmony says no scissors either. You can't take scissors on the plane either. So how are they deciding this? Are they sitting at a table somewhere and, you know, in a conference room, not aware of what's really happening and deciding, wiffle ball good, ski poles good, pocket knife good. It's upsetting a lot of people that they have to give up their pocket knives. But all of these other things will be banned. Matt Johnson, if you're not out there shoveling the studio, because I know you're buried in snow or melting snow anyway, you know, do you carry a knife, a pocket knife? Did you ever have problems with that when you went through security?
I did. I got a Swiss Army knife taken away. But I think I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
Oh!
Because I think in this day and age, no one's going to be able to take over a plane with something like a golf club or a pocket knife, anything like that. Because as soon as somebody whiffs something out like that, granted, maybe somebody would get hurt, but the entire plane, I don't think, would be in danger like they would, because it's a more of a mob rule mentality on airplanes now. When something crazy happens, all the passengers kind of jump after that person. I'm more worried about the liquids and somebody trying to blow up the plane.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. I think you have a point in the sense that if somebody gets up and they're crazy and they're crazed and they want to smash somebody on the head with something and try to get through, now everybody's going to get up. People are going to react. They're going to, even if it's women, men, whatever, they're going to tackle them, I think. So they're not going to be able to, get away with things that they were able to get away with, I guess, before. It's an interesting question, because the one thing I do think is with a knife, it's easy to conceal it for sure. But, you know, it's the things, the making the decisions on what is and what isn't is very, very strange. That's what I'll say. How they're deciding arbitrarily, okay. Although they are saying that these are things they're seeing a lot of. So people are having to give them up now at the gates around the country. So what they're saying is, okay, this shouldn't be a big deal. We've got people that are carrying ski poles. Why can't they just take them through? I had a tennis racket. I've had tennis rackets got stopped and then was let through. So they were stopping me initially, saying you couldn't have the tennis rackets and then you could. So maybe it just depends, you know. They have the doors locked, so the last line of defense would be with the doors. Remember the idea that the pilots could have the guns and, you know, could carry a gun, and that would make a difference. And, of course, you have air marshals. And, you know, everything's turned upside down still since 9/11. And have we let our guard down? I mean, have we just taken a breath? And some things have now, you know, changed for us compared to a year ago, 2 years ago, and right after 9/11. And, you know, so maybe we are perhaps letting our guard down. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Colonel Ted Spain. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
We're coming up on a very big anniversary. Did you know or did you realize that this March 19th, it'll be 10 years to the day, no kidding, that we had the invasion, the initial invasion of Iraq by coalition forces, and of course to overthrow, dethrone, whatever you want to call it, Saddam Hussein. And remember what happened afterwards, as it has been chronicled. Lots of disorder, management, leadership that was wrought with holes like Swiss cheese, a lot of confusion, if you remember. Pleased to welcome to the show Colonel Ted Spain. He was the commanding officer of the 18th Military Police Brigade, caught right in the middle of this firestorm, this turmoil when it all happened, and didn't have a lot of resources to try to get some order, some semblance, some balance to what was chaos among the people that he was trying to help, obviously. Colonel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you again for the invitation. I appreciate it, ma'am.
And you talk about this in your book, too, by the way, Breaking Iraq, the 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq. Take us back to the day and what that was like once you were boots on the ground and you were handling pretty much what was left and, as we described it, the chaos that ensued. What were your initial thoughts when all of this was happening?
Well, actually, it started during the planning phases in Kuwait. Of course, planning every stage of the invasion, going through the breach lanes into Iraq. And then, of course, we had to make our way to Baghdad. So from the planning perspective, myself and others were focused almost entirely on, of course, winning the ground war. But once we had liberated the Iraqi people and gone into the capital, we basically were caught short with the type of forces that we needed, of course, that partly being military police. During the ground war, really the biggest impact was we couldn't control the routes. That led to, in my opinion, the capture and the murder of several soldiers that were with Jessica Lynch. That would have been my mission, to control the routes. I didn't have adequate military police for that. Pretty much during the ground war, we were tied up with handling the enemy prisoners of war and trying to get some of the critical convoys up forward. But the chaos actually broke out once we went into Baghdad, and of course the looting and such that you saw on TV.
Yeah, so when all that was going on, was it kind of in a different way, like a triage unit? You were just trying to plug the gaps, trying to put guys where you could, trying to figure out what, you know, who can we rescue, how can we get this all in order? I mean, because you then had to be right in the middle of that chess game. What did you do to try to smooth things out? How did you try to make sense of it?
Well, I was in the middle. You can't really appreciate the size of Baghdad by watching it on TV. It's absolutely huge. City. It had 6 million people in it. Now, there's only 18 states in the entire United States that got 18 million people, to put it in the right context. So, to be quite honest, we didn't have the adequate assets to even control the looting. It just, there just wasn't enough soldiers. We went in with the amount of soldiers necessary to win the ground war without an adequate plan on what we were going to do with it once we occupied it. That's really where the title of the book came from. As you know, General Colin Powell referred to it as, we broke Iraq without a plan to put it back together. That's where we got the title from. Just like in gift shops, when you go in, you see signs that says, if you break it, you own it. And that's really what my issue was, that, well, we broke it, we owned it, but we really didn't have an adequate plan for local police. My book, Breaking Iraq, is focused on the inability to establish a local police force, which is critical in Iraq just as it is where you live.
Yeah, and do you attribute that partially to poor politics and bad leadership or what?
My personal opinion is we were in the process of transforming to the military, where we wanted a quicker and more agile military, and that worked very well during the ground war. But it just didn't give us the assets that we needed to control it. And as you know, General Shinseki, the chief of staff of the Army at the time, was heavily criticized. He recommended a number of somewhere around 500,000 soldiers. And we went in, I believe, with around 160,000.
Wow. Yeah. Again, it just brings back those memories, as you say, what we were starting to learn. And, of course, Baghdad was constantly on fire, as you say, you know, 6 million people and how big it was. So you were also had to be worried about all the fires, all the chaos, all the insurgency. That was obviously, you were literally putting out fires at times, weren't you?
Well, yes, ma'am. Initially, that's an interesting question you have. Initially, the streets were barren. Once we established ourselves in Baghdad and after the initial looting, there was periods of time that you could literally be riding the streets with no other vehicles out there. Everybody went into their homes. And they really were waiting to see, you know, what we were going to do next. And and progress, quite honestly, in my opinion, was measured by the amount of traffic. I considered that to be successful as we received more, as we saw more and more vehicles on the streets. The looting was over. I'll be honest with you, I witnessed a lot of the looting. And given what we were doing at the time while we were trying to establish security, we just really did not get involved in the looting. It didn't play very well, I realize, on TV. We were heavily criticized. I was heavily criticized, and you're probably aware of, as I talk about in my book, Ambassador Bremer, there was confusion about it was put out that he had given an order to shoot the looters.
Mm.
I actually heard about that while I was out on the street. Ironically, with Tom Ricks was with me that day. I was out on the street, and Tom Ricks asked me about if I'd heard the order to shoot the looters. I called back to my headquarters to make sure they understood that we would not shoot any looters until I heard that from a general that I worked for. And it all turned out to be a misunderstanding. And I'm thankful every day that we did not shoot any of the looters.
Yeah. What general were you under, Colonel?
I had lots of them, and I talk about that in the book. It depends on which day. I worked for General Sanchez. I talk about General Sanchez. There's an entire chapter about General Sanchez and his leadership, quite honestly, his lack of leadership. I also answered to General Dempsey, who was a division commander at the time. He's currently the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then I had my normal boss, who was General Wojciechowski. And I also worked for General Scaparotti, who was an assistant to General Dempsey. So it depends on which day.
Yeah. Yeah. Dempsey.
Military bosses. I haven't talked about the civilian bosses with them, starting with Ambassador Bremer and going down to Bernie Kerik. I have a chapter in my book about Bernie Kerik, who, of course, was the New York City Police Commissioner on 9/11. And he was brought in to help with establish security. But as I said in the book, that didn't work out very well.
Yeah, New York a little bit different, obviously, and it didn't translate. But General Dempsey, who, as you said, now joined Chiefs of Staff, how would you rate him? Do you think he did a pretty good job, or was it kind of the same thing as General Sanchez?
Completely different. Opposite ends. General Dempsey guided. General Wallace, actually, as you may recall, General Wallace was our commander initially. He was pulled out because of a comment that he made, which was a true statement that he made to the media. And he was pitted against Secretary Rumsfeld, but he was removed and replaced with General Sanchez. But General Wallace fully understood that we were in something other than war. So General Wallace, General Dempsey certainly got it. General Sanchez never did get it. The combat arms generals, they're good at winning the war. But as I said at the time, you know, we've won the war, now we got to win the peace. And we really never did win the peace during my time.
Yeah, and talk about winning the peace. When the photos broke of Abu Ghraib, do you remember that and what that was like? Because, of course, what a firestorm that started worldwide, obviously there, too, as well, right?
Yes, ma'am. We were scheduled to leave. We were scheduled to rotate out. Our time was up. We were going to be leaving the first week of February of 2004, and it was the second week of January. Obviously, I had inside connections, knew some of the criminal investigators, and I was told the second week of January that there was pictures of detainees being abused over at Abu Ghraib. I actually had opened Abu Ghraib prison, and I talked in the book about that. I handed that mission over to the former General Kempinski about the third week of June of 03. So I was completely disturbed. That's another example of a leadership breakdown right there.
Right, of not realizing what was going on. And, of course, you know, the torture cells and whatnot, and then ultimately what became of that. Do you think the people, as you were there and watching all this, do you think the people appreciated what at least we were trying to do, what you were trying to do and what others were trying to do with the military police brigade?
Yes, ma'am. During the ground war, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, well, I thought you were going to be treated as liberators. We were treated as liberators. We people did rush out and to give us flowers, and I talk about in the book, I've got a little handmade cross that a kid about 13, 14 years old, his only possession he had, and he gave me that and to thank me for his freedom. So we had a lot of that. I personally believe that as the days progressed on and the violence increased and some of the raids that were taking place in the houses and stuff, we created some of those problems because we just simply didn't understand their culture. And the senior leadership over there, military and civilians, just really didn't appreciate the importance. They did later, after I retired, around 2006, 2007, they got it. They created a three-star position that had oversight over the police and the Army. And then, of course, General Petraeus went back in, and I was with him the first time, but he went back in, and he understood it and started getting things back in order. But, you know, I was on the streets every day with the Iraqi people and Iraqi business people. And they are just, I talk in the book about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And they are just like us. We want security. You want to feel secure. When you call 911, that's the 911. That's the local police that comes to your house. It's not the Army. Mm-hmm. And I just was a failure at getting the right emphasis placed on standing up a legitimate police force.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, interesting stuff. We just scratched the surface. Colonel Ted Spain, Breaking Iraq, the 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and we hope to talk to you down the line. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, ma'am.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
The Hawaii State Senate passed a bill that's seeking to protect celebrities from paparazzi. It's called the Steven Tyler Act, and it would create a civil violation if people take unwanted photos or videos of other people in their private moments. The rock star, who you just heard from Massachusetts, asked Senator English to sponsor the legislation after unwanted photos were taken of him last December in Maui. So guess what? This is a layup thing to vote on, right? 23 of 25 of the state Senate folks voted in favor of the bill. It goes to the House. It's probably going to get approved. And how about that? Steven Tyler has legislation now named after him. That wasn't part of what you emailed me about. I always invite you to throw in your two cents by picking up the phone at 855-266-5283. But a lot of you definitely went to snail mail when you heard about Hugo the Butcher Chavez dying. So without further ado, let's head to the mail room.
You have mail, mistress.
Yeah, this one from Joe in Illinois, who says, Katie Kate, Hugo is dead, and that's a good thing, even though as I flip across the cable channels and listen to the puppets speak, they warn that something worse could jump in place of Chavez. Really? Well, of course, it's an open seat, and who knows? Dealing with a country that's just been through 14 years of Chavez, who said he was about poor people, for poor people, helping the middle class, helping poor people, and didn't do that. He amassed a $2 billion fortune, so, and he also threatened people. It was a state-run news agency. It's a dictatorship. It was a socialistic dictatorship with the emphasis on dictatorship. So now that Chavez is going to be buried, and there's 30 days until an election, sure, I mean, I'll acquiesce and say, yeah, you could get somebody worse than Chavez. Of course, could. That's the great big if question. But doubtful. The scale is really tipped in favor of he was pretty bad. He was pretty bad. Except for that he had such a stranglehold on the people. There wasn't any kind of massive uprisings. There was one time they tried to get rid of Chavez, and that was at least 10 years ago. And he certainly has a list of massive enemies or people that wanted to do him in, but they didn't have any luck. So now he's gone. So what happens and who steps in his place in 30 days, you know, we'll find out. But they'd have to be somebody with some massive persuasive powers to get people to rally behind them. I would think the interim guy, some people like the interim guy. He says he doesn't want to run, so that's unlikely that it's unlikely that he would be the person that, you know, would step into the shoes of Chavez. And I think we're just starting to hear some of the names, and I'm not familiar with any of them. We'll do more research on it, but nobody massively popular in the Western world, the name anyway, is coming out of any sort of a list. Some of them are sort of labor leaders, one guy, but I think it's kind of an eeny, meeny, miny, moe deal, and we'll see if it's somebody, you know, if it's somebody else and we're treading water in a different direction. You know, is the U.S. better off without Chavez or with him? I'm going to say better off without Chavez. You know, absolutely. He comes along at a time in history. He came along that he had massive charisma for some, which is why idiots like Sean Penn say, oh, it's, you know, tremendous loss, and he was a hero to the poor people. He wasn't any hero to the poor people. Are you kidding me? Not at all. Not at all. We'll see. All right, let's move on to this question that comes to us from Adam. And Adam says, Kate, this is the first time I've emailed the show. I know you know about Chavez dying. I think you've talked about going to Venezuela. And, you know, I read somewhere that two Americans already have been kicked out of the country. They were accused of causing some sort of problem after the announcement of the death of Hugo Chavez. And I'm wondering about this interim guy. Well, the acting president is Nicolas Maduro, and Maduro is just a guy who ran a labor union. He was a bus operator in his early days, and he was appointed by Hugo Chavez. So he's the stopgap, and he may emerge as somebody that people want to vote for, but he's saying he's not running for anything. He's not gonna do it. So who? It's back to the same question. You know, are they better off without Chavez? And the answer is yes, as long as there is some semblance of people not going crazy and pulling almost like an Arab Spring, but a nasty, chaotic Arab Spring, for lack of a better way to describe it. And I don't think that I don't think that will happen. All right, let's move on to this one. This one from the leader of the free world. Oh, who's the leader of the free world? Leader of the free world says, pardon my nickname, but this is how I identify myself. You have to get rid of people like Chavez and Ahmadinejad and the Castro brothers. They represent pure, unadulterated evil, and there's no question about it. Disguised as something else, how anyone could think that Chavez ever was a good guy, I have no clue. They're obviously not following really what's happening in a country like Venezuela. The people in Venezuela are a lot better off without him, Kate, without a doubt. I think no matter who goes in, could it really be any worse than Chavez? Yeah, don't know. Could it be worse than Chavez? Hopefully not. This creates an opening. And when there's an opening, maybe somebody decent gets a hold of the opening, gets in there and really tries to turn things around in favor of the people who have just been pummeled in that country. There were lots of problems behind the scenes with Chavez's regime. And so if Sean Penn and other Hollywood types want to worship at the Chavez altar, feel free. But to me, I say good riddance, because to me, he was not committed to improving lives. Even though Jimmy Carter said, yes, this guy was committed to improving lives, so much so that he had a stranglehold on all of the resources in an oil-rich country. How can you explain to me then that there was an amazing amount of people who were starving, who were being, you know, asked to chip in to help the government at times, and ridiculously so, there was a definite swing in one direction of money and power versus the other. So there wasn't a big middle class in Venezuela. So should Venezuelans be hopeful that there could be a big change? Yeah, they should be hopeful. It's going to be better. There's going to be a better chance if someone better than Chavez steps in. So as you can see, a lot of people had thoughts on the 58-year-old dictator who died after a two-year battle with cancer. And Hugo Chavez does leave a void, but it's a void, unlike the situation with the Pope, that's probably going to be filled a whole lot sooner. I'm going to leave you with this one. It was Han Solo who said, may the Force be with you.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.